We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a movie called First Sight, and it's a movie about a man who is blind since he was 3 years old, and it's based on a true life story. In the movie, the man who has become blind at a young age is named Virgil. And Virgil, in spite of his blindness, has quite a good life. We see him in the movie actually skating on a pond. It's dark, there are no lights on, and consequently there are no people, which is necessary for him to skate. But he has taught himself to ice skate, even though he was blind. And he has a good job. He is a massage therapist at a vacation spa, and he's able to be quite independent. Well, Virgil in the movie meets Amy. She's a high-powered New York City architect, and she's come to the spa to try to regain some energy. They meet, they fall in love, and as their friendship grows, he teaches her how to know the world without seeing it. Through hearing and through other means, he teaches her a whole different way of looking, so to speak, at the world, and she finds she has renewed creative energy. But she loves Virgil, and so she searches for a doctor who might be able to recover his sight for him. And Virgil goes through the required operation, and he's able to see. But his reaction to the world after he sees in the movie mirrors the reaction of the man the movie was based on, whose name is Cheryl, and that is that they both find that the world is more confusing and scarier now that they can see. Cheryl, the real man, has a cat and a dog, and of course, when he was blind, he could tell them apart. But once he regained his sight, he couldn't remember their image. So when they would leave the room and then come back again, he would have to touch them to determine if he was touching his cat or his dog. And distances were very confusing for him, so that he was afraid when a bird took off and flew very close by, because he thought the bird was very close. Cheryl said of his life, he said, "After I regained my sight, I felt more disabled than I had when I was blind." He said, "Because I lost my confidence, I lost my identity." I think the movie reminds us that strangely, not everybody wants to be free from their blindness because it can be painful. In today's gospel, there are blind people. There's a man physically blind from birth, and there are a group of people named the Pharisees who also have their own kind of blindness. Jesus offers each of them healing. One of them accepts it. The other prefers to remain blind. Well, we meet the blind man as a beggar. Most likely he was begging along the side of the road, probably a road leading right into a village. And he must have been told that the man who was approaching him was a healer, because he let Jesus do a very strange thing: get some dirt from the ground, spit on it, make a paste, and put it on the man's eyelids. And then he told the man, "Go wash your eyelids in that pool." Well, because the man trusted Jesus and followed his order, he was able to see. Jesus had given him for the first time physical sight, but in a way, the man was still blind because he didn't really know who that was who had healed him. He didn't really know who Jesus was. And now, as we all took place, the parts of the townspeople and the Pharisees who questioned him, we know that he kept being questioned. Well, who healed you, and how did he do this? Each time the blind man explained it, he became a little more aware of who Jesus was. At first, he referred to Jesus as a man, and then as a prophet. And then he began to realize that he must be a man from God. And then, when he was booted out of the synagogue for believing that Jesus was a man from God, and he was alone and Jesus found him again, He fell on his knees before Jesus and worshiped him and called him Lord. The blind man had his physical sight back, but Jesus had given him something more precious. Jesus had given him a whole new understanding of who he was and who God was. Because of Jesus' care for the man, he began to realize that he wasn't a sinful, outcast person the way society had portrayed him. He wasn't being punished by God. That wasn't why he had been blind. But instead, God valued him and loved him. And his God was a God of love and mercy. The Pharisees, as you may know, were a group of highly educated, very religious, highly respected leaders in Jesus' day. And they did a lot of teaching. And they had particularly wanted to teach the people a way that they felt would help the people keep the law. That is, keep the Ten Commandments. And their way was that the people would keep a lot of little rules so they wouldn't run the danger of breaking the big ones. Now, this was probably a good idea at the beginning. It was a way for people to, you know, honor God. But it became an obsession with the Pharisees. It became their identity. And they had lots of rules. It finally totaled 613. There were rules about not breaking the Sabbath, that is, not working on the Sabbath, the third commandment. And one of them insisted that you should not knead bread on the Sabbath or mix anything with your hands. So clearly, when Jesus made up that kind of solution to put on the man's eyelids, he was breaking the third commandment. And another one of their rules was that you were breaking the commandment if you helped someone, unless they were dying. Well, Jesus clearly helped someone on the Sabbath, so again, he was breaking the law. Now, the Pharisees were the only people who had the time and money to keep all their many rules, and no one else could. And so they felt closer to God. They felt they knew God better than anyone else. They felt superior to other people, whom they often called sinners and maybe even outcasts. And the saddest thing about their compulsion about rules was it blinded them from seeing who Jesus was and who God was. They did not realize that when they were looking at Jesus, they were seeing God. And they didn't realize that God could be known by everyone, not just the Pharisees, and that God was far more interested in having our trust than having us keep rules. So the man who had been born blind had come to understand God, had come to see God, and the Pharisees had decided they did not want to. Jesus makes quite a contrast here, and I'm quite sure that his intention was that we would do a little soul searching. Who are we more like? Are we more like the man who was blind and then could see, or more like the Pharisees who did not want to get rid of their blindness? And I suspect that for many of us, we are both. That there are times in our lives when we trust in a loving God, and we feel confident to go through life knowing that we are valued by God and we treat other people that way. But then there is this great temptation to be like the Pharisees and to find our identity, to even make into an obsession things that could be good. We might find our identity, for instance, in succeeding in physical challenges or in being excellent in our work or at school or maintaining a certain lifestyle. And these things are good in themselves. But when they take over our lives, when we feel that's who we are, then they drive a wedge between us and even the people we love, and they blind us from seeing that our value is already there, already given to us by a God who loves us. That is why, because we are prone to be like the Pharisees, that Jesus invites us to the baptismal font. Just as Jesus invited the blind man to go to the pool and be healed. Because here it is that we are washed clean of our anxieties and our selfishness and our compulsions and our obsessions and our everything that keeps us from God. And here, as we will see in just a few minutes, when James is baptized, we make a promise to God that we will trust God and that we will try very hard to look at life through God's eyes, to see ourselves and others as God sees us. And when we fail in our promise, which we will, then we fall back on the unfailing promise that God makes to us at baptism, and that is to love and forgive us forever. The gospel kind of ends on a sad note today. Jesus ends by saying to the Pharisees, "Your sins remain." But you know, he never gave up on them. And we see that again and again, Jesus would challenge their blindness and offer them healing. And it finally caused him to be crucified. It finally was the reason he was killed. And then Jesus rose from the darkness of death to show the world that even stronger than our blindness is the light of God's love. Amen.